How would you feel if your dentist, who you rely on for the absolute best care, for the best fiduciary standards, and for them to stay at the forefront of dental industry best practices trends, what if they said they never heard of biomimetic dentistry?
She said, I really want to have those techniques used on me, and can you do biomimetic dentistry? She was looking her dentist straight in the face when she was saying all of this, and the dentist looked at her and said, bio what?
Many patients now drive from several parts of Indiana, while more and more patients are driving or flying from other states just to experience microscope dentistry by Shoup's modern teeth preservation tactics. Dr. Shoup and his team are about preventing and preserving, not reacting, filling, and overbilling. Learn more now on The Dr. Shoup Show. We're online at ddsradio.com. Now, here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Hello, everybody. It is great to have you here. Thank you very, very much. I am always honored. I tell you that it really is important to me that you decide to spend an hour with me learning things you're never going to learn anywhere else. You are going to be so well educated, so well informed. You are going to be certainly the best in your row in anything related to health, dentistry, wellness, nutrition. We've got it all for you so you can make great decisions for the rest of your life. You know how this works. We begin Dental School 101, and today I'm going to be describing to you my triumphant Broadway premiere, my one-man show in New York. This is all tongue-in-cheek, kids. I was an invited speaker at the Greater New York Dental Meeting, and it was an absolutely phenomenal experience. I was there with two of my colleagues, one from Panama and one from Ogden, Utah. I'm going to tell you what we did, who we taught, what we taught. It was a great experience. And in Ask the Expert, are you a dink? That is D as in dog, I as in ice cream, N as in Nancy, K as in kite, D-I-N-K. Are you a dink? Do you know a dink? Would you like to be a dink? Would you like to jump into the whole concept of dinkdom, dinkness, or increase your dinkaliciousness? Does this all sound ridiculous? Well, actually, it could spell the beginning of the demise of mankind on Earth. Now, put all that together in your head, and I'm going to explain it all to you. And, of course, you get to meet really good friends of mine today. You get to meet Renee. Renee was told her little tiny baby had a massive decay problem, was going to be placed in the hospital, taken to a operating room, and many of the teeth extracted, and she was devastated, wanted an alternative rather than just sacrificing all of these teeth, and she calls Uncle Randy to the rescue, and it is a really cool story. You're going to want to hear the rest of it from Renee. But now, have you been feeling okay? Have you noticed anything strange floating around in your body, circulating, seen anything in your eyes, noticed anything anywhere? Well, actually, you should have, and it isn't a good thing. I'm going to tell you all about it right now.
Time to go under the microscope.
You just blew my mind.
Well, if you all will hearken back about 3 years, I opened up the whole conversation about microplastics. Microplastics have been developed by industry, and it is a plastic, like a plastic Solo cup, like a plastic piece of PVC pipe. It is plastic, but they can shave, cut, grind this plastic down into particles that are about 20 microns. It is 1/5 the width of a human hair. And this substance, this ultra fine plastic powder, is used everywhere. It is used in cosmetic products, and what we are finding now is this stuff is winding up in our bodies. But there is a rescue, so to speak, and that's what got me onto this subject. There is a research development project in the works that has found a substitute for these microplastics made out of, you ready for it? You ready? Drum roll, silk. Yes, the little old silkworm weaving its little bunch of silk, and people make clothing out of it or whatever. But silk can be used as a substitute for these microplastics. What are the advantages? A, microplastics, once produced, are always produced. They will be here forever. The latest information on these microplastics is, and this is not going to set well with you, they have found microplastics traveling in the bloodstream of blood donors as they check and screen the blood. They have found these microplastics in a large percentage of your lung tissue. These microplastics are so small, they will cross over membranes in your body, and they will get in the placenta, and they will get into your bloodstream. They will get into every nook and cranny of your body. They get into all the animals that we know. They get into the food chain. You and I are eating them. It is a big deal. So, with the advent of this experimentation on silk, why would silk be such a cool thing? Silk is a protein, and it is a polymer protein. It is a natural occurring thing, and it degrades. It breaks down. It dissolves over time. So there won't be a giant forever stamp on the top of your forehead when you get these microplastics in your system if they were converted over and changed into the silk proteins. Then over time, they would simply diminish, dissolve, and go away. So there is some cool research coming that would solve a massive problem. This problem already exists, and so we can't stop it from happening, but we can certainly do our best to make it better. Now, up next, my triumphant one-man show on Broadway, sold out, packed house. The critics rave. Oh, my goodness. They said it was such an exceptional performance. I may be overstepping here a little bit, but I'm going to tell you all about my program in New York right after this.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at DTSradio.com. This segment is where we pack in as much cutting-edge dental treatment info as possible. We tell real treatment stories, and most of the time it involves what other dentists do not do and what Dr. Shoup does do. It's time to start Dental School 101 on the Dr. Shoup Show. Your continuing education platform is DDSradio.com. Now, here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
New York, New York, I want to wake up in a city that never sleeps.
Well, yes, there was not a lot of sleeping getting done this past weekend when I was in the Big Apple on my great premiere on the great Broadway. Actually, it was in the Javits Convention Center, and I was probably back down a long hallway, room 2A11. I have no idea what that number meant, but we were there with about 29,000, yes, I said 29,000 of our fellow dentists, a huge accumulation of human beings for this gigantic dental meeting. Pretty much anybody and everybody who is in the world of dentistry is there. I was invited by virtue of the fact of being the president of the Academy of Microscope Enhanced Dentistry and the work that we do up at Microscope Dentistry by Shoup, along with two of my microscope colleagues. One is Dr. Juan Carlos Ortiz Hughes. He is from a city called David, for you and me, in Panama. He is a root canal specialist. And my other buddy is George, we call him Jorge, but George Zapata from Ogden, Utah. He is a general restorative dentist, but this guy is absolutely, positively fearless. He will tackle anything, and he makes it look easy. Really annoying. This guy really just annoys the dickens out of you because he shows his videos and he shows his slides of this super complex stuff. I am in awe of the things he does. He likes to do the messy things. He likes the surgeries. He likes the extractions. He likes the root canal things. I'm a clean, neat, and tidy guy. I like to fix things and put them back together. He likes to take them apart. So it was the three of us, along with my dental assistant, Mercedes McGann, and she was there to help me. I was presenting two programs. On Sunday morning, I was presenting a full lecture, and on Sunday afternoon, I was the main focus of a hands-on workshop, and Juan Carlos and Jorge were my fellow instructors, and Mercedes was there to help all of the students. So on Saturday, we had Juan Carlos and Jorge give their lectures on ergonomics and on microphotography. And then on Sunday, so we had a two-day big extravaganza. It was a lot of fun, and it was incredibly enlightening, and I'll tell you why. A, do you know that less than 40% of the dentists in the United States use that rubber dam thing on your teeth when they restore your teeth? We were listening to some other lectures, and they were quoting these most recent statistics. That is incredibly disheartening, because if you are doing adhesive, tooth-colored, composite-based dental restorative, you basically have to use the rubber dam, or the fillings become contaminated with moisture. Even the humidity from your breath, sitting in the chair, breathing in and out, if the dentist is not using that rubber protector on your teeth will get condensation, microcondensation on them. In essence, your fillings will have a layer of water when they try to bond them to your teeth. Guess what? It doesn't stick. Therefore, your fillings, tooth-colored fillings, will literally fall out if you eat something sticky or chew just the right direction. So that was something for me I learned from one of the other lectures that was absolutely positively staggering. The second thing I learned that was really, really, really disheartening was that the vast majority of the tooth-colored fillings in the United States today, by the insurance industry, say that a tooth-colored filling placed in the USA today has an average life expectancy of 2 to 3 years. Now, you and I have talked about this before. About 4 years ago, that figure was 6 years. The insurance industry said, if you have a tooth-colored filling placed, we're not going to replace it for 6 years because it should last that long. They have, the insurance industry, recalibrated, and now that figure is, depending upon the circumstances, 2 to 3 years. I think that is one of the single most egregious facts against how dentists casually do tooth-colored fillings that you could possibly... You, the consumer, are going in to have your teeth restored, and They don't, the dentist doesn't tell you this thing is only going to last 2 to 3 years because the techniques that I'm using are so poor that this restoration is going to leak, it's going to get a cavity around it, it's going to fall out, it's going to become sensitive, it's going to deteriorate within 2 to 3 years. You great dental consumer, you get to plop your behind in the chair again. You get to get numbed up again. You get to get drilled on again. You get to have an even bigger filling put in because every time you put a filling in, it gets bigger. They don't stay the same size. So this restoration now is a more expansive restoration than what you had before. And you get to get up out of the chair after having sat through all the drilling and go to the front desk, and you, dental consumer, get to pay for having this done again. Not because there's anything wrong with the tooth-colored filling material, not because there's anything in the world wrong with what we know about bonding to teeth and having all of this stuff work. You're doing this because the dentist that did this work did not adhere to all of the tenets, all of the information, all of the stuff we know is critically important. So when I was lecturing on Sunday morning, we were going through step by step by step, and it was stunning to me the number of people in my audience that were raising up hands and asking questions. Well, yes, but, how about if I do this, or how about if I do that? Which tells me they're not doing what I'm telling them they need to do. They're doing something else, and they want me to give them kind of absolution. Say, the way you're doing it is just fine. You know me. I don't do that. Homie, don't play that. And so, no, I call it out as I see it. I said, no, you have to quit doing that right now. You have to go home and never do that again. And so it brings a chuckle in the crowd, of course, a little bit. They've never heard anybody quite that blunt and honest. But that's the way it is. When we were in the hands-on workshop, so that crowd left, and in the afternoon, we set up a whole raft of microscopes. We had all kinds of ergonomically designed chairs that came in. We seated all of the dentists in these ergonomically aligned chairs. We showed them how to use the microscope. We got them hooked up, calibrated, viewing the microscope. And then as Jorge and Juan Carlos and Mercedes wandered around the room, making sure everybody was doing their right stuff, then I was up front, I had a microscope, and I was actually doing the procedures that they had exactly the same in front of them, and they were simply following along as I was doing all the work. They were absolutely, positively stunned that we could do this kind of dentistry. And the thing I wanted to show people, it's not that I'm the only one that can do this. It's not true. They can do it if they just are dedicated to the fact that they want to do excellent dentistry. So we walked through two exercises. One is placing a tooth-colored filling the right way, and everybody really accepted that. And then the second one was, which I know was going to be a stretch, I did it on purpose. I was teaching them how to rebuild those root canal treated teeth so that they didn't have to have a crown or a cap on it. And I'm telling you what, if you want to see a group of people stretching their brain to wrap it around that concept, because everything they've been taught for their entire dental career is if it's had a root canal, it gets a crown. And to have me in the front of the room demonstrating, showing, walking them through step by step on, you know what you know maybe isn't right. And so they were walking through, and that was, I think, for many people, the biggest aha moment in that, holy cow, there's a whole new world out there. And so oftentimes people ask me, Where are the other dentists that do what you do? Where are the other people that know how to do what you do? And I said, I'm trying to train them. I will teach anybody at any time, anywhere. This was just an absolutely magnificent opportunity. Very proud to be invited out there. Very honored. There's a ton of pressure when you go to that size meeting. And just to give you an idea how much gravity this meeting has, there was a dentist in my class from Kyiv, Ukraine. He had flown from Kyiv, Ukraine to New York to attend this meeting, and he looked at the schedule and decided he wanted to be in my class. Talk about a proud moment for me. I was absolutely humbled by with all that is going on in his country. He chose to come there and be with me. And I'm telling you what, that had some, that there were some moist eyes with me, Juan Carlos, and Mercedes and Jorge, because this guy is suffering a lot. His office has been blown up. He works out of makeshift places that he can, but he wanted to come learn what we teach. And so it was a thrill. I loved it. It was great. And so my triumphant Broadway debut. There is actually a Broadway performance that I think is on YouTube, but I didn't have anything to do it. It was an accident. I'm only going to leave it at that. Okay, up next. Are you a dink? Do you want to be a dink? I'm going to tell you what a dink is right after this.
New York.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at ddsradio.com.
What does your host of this show do in his limited spare time? Well, he researches. He meets with other experts in the biomimetic dental field. He teaches. He donates his time in other countries. Plus, he digs up stories across the world that contribute to our future better lives. No doubt about it. He's a man on a mission. And all of this gathered knowledge contributes to this segment. Ask the Expert on the Dr. Shoup Show. We're online at ddsradio.com. Now, here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Well, it is so good to have you all here. Thank you very, very much. And I absolutely am thrilled when we all can get together. And I know you have all been chomping at the bit. You have been Google searching frantically. You have been scouring your Merriam-Webster book because you're looking up the word dink, D-I-N-K. Are you a dink? And so we're going to talk about that. Let me get right to it. Dink. You're gonna just roll your eyes and go, oh my gosh. Dual income, no kids. Dual income, no kids. Couples are deciding to stay engaged in their very, very active, rewarding, hopefully profitable professions, not have children purposefully, and live out their lives without reproduction. They are happy to just be a couple, happy to enjoy all the things couples enjoy. The only exclusion is they don't want to foster, rear children. And this is a growing trend. There are more and more and more couples deciding to live this quote-unquote dink lifestyle. That's why I asked, are you a dink? Do you want to be a dink? And so, according to the latest data from the U.S. Census Bureau, the number of adults living without children has increased by 19% since 1967. Just so you know, in terms of population demographics, from 1967 to shift the needle by 19% is gigantic. That is huge in terms of the effect, the penetration into the population. In addition, A 2021 Pew Research Center survey found 44% of non-parents between the ages of 18 and 49 say it is unlikely that they will ever have children. This figure is up, you ready, kids? 37% since 2018. That is gigantic increase. This growing trend of couples delaying having children or foregoing them altogether is going to contribute to a trend that we are seeing in a reduction in the overall Earth population. So you want to be a dink? That's fine. It is a growing trend. Now, the second piece of information that has come out, and this is slightly more alarming, and this is from a human reproduction update journal, and this journal only tracks scientific information about human reproduction. Men throughout the globe, makes no difference what country you are living in, makes no difference what race, creed, ethnicity, makes no difference. Men are producing significantly less sperm all over the world. According to a recent study published in the Academy Journal Human Reproduction Update, men of all demographics are seeing a significant enough reduction in sperm count that scientists are calling for an awareness study to figure out why is this happening. If this reduction continues at its current pace, it could lead to human extinction. Now, I have warned you all before that the more sensational the title, the less reliable the information. Okay? So, mankind perched on the absolute precipice of extinction. That is a very excitable title. It's not true, and it doesn't have anything to do with it. But what we're seeing is worldwide, this is happening all over the place. The study was done in terms of what's called a meta-analysis, in that they looked at a variety of studies and put all of the studies together to extrapolate the data that was hidden therein. Finding out why men are experiencing this reduction in sperm count is important because it affects men's health in other ways. Some known causes of lower sperm counts include diabetes, depression, drinking, drugs, and obesity. So there are a lot of factors that are entering into what we think is this reduction in sperm count. Now, number three, you remember 5 years ago, I came back from a conference where I was listening to a physician from Hawaii. And this physician himself was a world-class athlete. He himself had 5 sons. Expecting them to be very, very healthy, robust, active, athletic boys. He found that they were anything but. And so he was trying to figure out, why is it they've got my gene pool? Why is it they aren't really active? They don't want to get out. They don't want to run around. They don't care about cars. All they want to do is sit with their buddies and play video games. The only thing they want to do is text everybody. They're not particularly interested in girls. And he said, at their age, when I was growing up, it was just, that's all we wanted to talk about. Girls, cars, and going out with your buddies and hanging out. That was it. The last thing in the world he said he wanted to do was sit on a couch someplace playing a video game. He said the video games really didn't exist that much then, but he said that would be the last thing I would want to do. So he, on his own, started to do some research and some study, and he found that young men today And if you will notice this, you and I have talked about this before, especially when I was working with the fraternity down in Bloomington. Young men today, if you look at them, walk through any high school, walk down the street, go through a mall, young men today are tall and by and large thin, skinny as a whip. We humans, when we are born, we don't have any major sex hormone. We have to wait for puberty. And so women have to wait for the estrogen. Men have to wait for testosterone with testicular development. But there is, out of the pituitary gland, a hormone called human growth hormone. And it is that thing that makes kids shoot up. If you are anywhere from, I think, the Midwest, everybody has a doorway in your kitchen that has pencil marks and a date, because the kids line up at the door with their back to the jam, and you put a pencil mark and a date because they grow so fast. And that's what this is supposed to do. Testosterone is supposed to take over at some point, and then you quit growing up and you grow out. You become more manly. We don't have testosterone. The majority of young men in the USA and the world today are deficient in testosterone. I believe there's a correlation with the decrease in sperm count, and that translates then into people that are less engaged or motivated to reproduce. Therefore, this whole dink thing is taking some traction. My theory entirely. But I think it's a pretty good one, because the data and the science backs up what's going on. So there you have it. We all need to watch out. We don't extinct ourselves, because if there's not more of us, who's going to drive all the Teslas? I mean, seriously, what are they going to do with all those things? What the heck? Now, up next, you get to meet my good friend Renee. Renee is a mom of a teeny tiny baby, and she is absolutely distraught because her little baby boy was told her little baby boy had a mouthful of cavities, and he was going to have a bunch of teeth extracted. He was going to have to go to the operating room. It was going to be a big deal. It was going to be mucho expensive-o for them to do this. They were a little bit limited on budget, and she was beside herself. She heard about me, brought him up to my office, and she's going to tell you the rest of the story, which has a happy ending. And she's going to tell you all about it right after this.
You're listening to The Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at DTSradio.com. You got it. It's a fact. Patients travel to see Dr. Shoup from all over Indiana. They also fly into Indianapolis from all over the country to make sure they're treated by only him and his team. Microscope Dentistry by Shoup is the now and the future. You're listening to The Dr. Shoup Show. Read industry articles, see videos, and hear a ton of shows at DTSradio.com right now. Here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Well, it's good to have you all here. Thank you. And if you are a listener of the program at all, you know this is my favorite part, because I get to bring to you friends of mine from up at the office. And today is a special one, because we're actually not talking about her, but we're talking about her little tiny son. Renee, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Well, good, good, good. Again, thank you very much for consenting to be on the program. And I told everybody, I said, what if you were a mom and you were told that your little guy, and I'm talking little guy, had a really big cavity problem and you'd been proposed a lot of, what would you do? You would just be stressed beyond belief. So tell everybody, if you would, your experience. How did you realize that he had a pretty good cavity problem, and who looked at it, and what were they suggesting?
Well, the first dentist that I took him to was my family dentist, and he didn't really, he just wanted to refer him to someone else that could specialize in children dentistry. And so when I took him to the children's dentistry.
The pedodontist.
Yes.
Yep.
She obviously said that he had pretty bad cavities and recommended fillings and or that she would possibly have to pull a tooth. And that they would use anesthesia for it, and I really didn't know much about the procedure at the time, and for him to be so little, the anesthesia was just really kind of out of my choice options. I just really didn't know much about it, and I really didn't want him to have a tooth pulled, and so really we just waited for a while, and then my husband had heard the commercial on WIBC for the microscope dentistry, and so we looked into that and watched some videos, and I got some information from your office that you guys did procedures for children and infants, so it was pretty amazing, really.
Well, thank you very much. Yes, it is not the main part of what I do, but yes, we can happily, because of all the biomimetic stuff we do, we can do things usually a little more conservatively and not as invasively. When you were talking about with the pedodontist, they were talking about, I think, weren't they taking him to the hospital?
It was possible, I think, maybe for the anesthesia. I can't remember exactly. But it just seemed like the process didn't really fit right with his age, I guess. I really didn't know what to do.
So so you brought him up to me, and we, you know, it wasn't easy. We got to take a look. He wasn't really thrilled about the fact that I was looking in his mouth at all.
No.
No, not at all. Wasn't expecting him to. Not as small as he was. But then you and I looked things over and had a conversation, and we decided I was going to bring in a specialist that is an anesthesiologist, that is his sole purpose is to put people asleep so that I can work on them. And how, tell everybody about the process and how did that go?
Well, he was quite a gentleman. I can't remember his name, but
Dr. Saxon.
Dr. Saxon. He was wonderful. We sat in a quiet room for a while, and he talked about the procedure that he was going to do. Gabriel was sitting on my lap at the time, and there was a lady at from the front office sitting in there, and he wanted to give him I think it was a sedative, some type of shot. Before the anesthesia to get him sleepy, and that went real easy, and he just got tired in my arms, and then they took him into the other room, and everything went well.
Yeah, it is a remarkable thing, and Dr. Saxon is truly amazing. His team goes from office to office and does these sedation cases, and they are so good at it. They do children. Quite honestly, they do a lot of children, but they also do adults for me whenever I need to have something that's a little bit extra. And so, yes, once Dr. Saxon gives him that little bit of a sedative and he gets drowsy, brings him into my treatment room, and Dr. Saxon does everything, getting him ready for me to slip in there and do the actual dental work. And he comes and gets me, and he goes, hey, we're ready to go. And I'll slip in there with my dental assistant, and we rocked and rolled. We restored every tooth in his head in about an hour and a half. We were hustling. I'll let you know. We were not letting any dust settle on us whatsoever. And so after it was all over, I came out, told you guys that everything had been really, really good. And then Dr. Saxon does his work at waking him up. How did it go afterwards?
It was well. It took him a little while to wake up, which is normal and
oh, sure.
Expected. And he was just a little grumpy for the rest of the night.
He was hungover. for crying out loud, we'd given him enough drugs that he passed out. He is hungover. Give the kid a break.
Yeah, everything was great. The next day, he acted fine. He's been eating fine, drinking fine. I think it was a day or two when I actually messed with him and actually looked in his mouth, and I was just completely thrilled. His back molars were really black inside, and they're white pretty much now, and it's just amazing. That I'm just so thrilled that you're a brilliant man.
Well, thank you very, very much. That might be overshooting just a little bit, but no, I thank you very, very much. And it's that you're sharing your story is so important, because there's so many folks out there that have kiddos that have really significant decay problems, and the parents are stuck. They don't know what to do. How do I fix this? I mean, you know, what is there any alternatives? And you and your husband stepped up to the plate, and you went through the process, and you got him fixed up. Kudos to you guys. It wasn't easy. It's not inexpensive to do it. I mean, but he is, your son is going to be so much better for what you have done for him. You just can't even measure it. So I'm really, really proud of you. You did a really great job. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. So, I did want to mention, you know, when my daughter's 10 now, when she was about, I think, 5, she had a real back cavity, and she had to end up getting her tooth pulled. So I definitely didn't want him to have to go through that same process. So,
oh, sure.
It's really awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, there's so much we can do now, saving and salvaging teeth and letting Mother Nature run its course, you know, to let the teeth fall out on their own. It's just really, really great. So again, Renee, thank you very much for being on the program. Thanks for sharing your story. Thank you for letting me have the honor of taking care of your son. Nobody takes that lightly when you hand over your child to a bunch of people and go, here, go take care of them. That's a big deal. And that's a scary situation to be in. And your trust in all of us is we consider that quite an honor that you've paid us. So thank you very, very much.
Well, thank you. I recommend you to very many people, and I think you have a wonderful team.
Well, thank you. Yeah, my team's awesome. Yeah, my team is just absolutely the best. So anyway, well, Renee, let me let you go. Thank you again for being on the program, sharing your story. I'll see you at the office next time.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you have it. I hope you enjoy listening to those bits and pieces as much as I always enjoy bringing them to you. Now, we've got a minute or so here together, and I want to take some time to really ask you to step up and help us with our Kenya program. We are ready to go, rolling out on December 26th, the day after Christmas, and we absolutely need your help. Remember, we have an entire backpack program. We go there with backpacks filled with school supplies. These kids have nothing. You can imagine in your mind what nothing is, and it doesn't even come close to the nothing that they have. They live in shacks made out of corrugated tin, cardboard, and a dirt floor. They pirate electricity coming off of a tower, and the electric wires oftentimes will chafe against the corrugated tin. And in the communities that they live in, it's not uncommon, an almost a daily occurrence. Somebody leans up against a wall and is electrocuted. And so this is the hostile environment they live. We need your help. So go to kinddentistry.org or ddsradio.com and make your donation. So until you and I have a chance to chat next time, be sure to brush and floss.
Keep on smiling, 'cause when you're smiling,